friends, and welcome back to yet another episode of What Page Are You On? It me, Bethany Rutter, and I'm here with my good friend and business partner.
It me, Alice Slater.
I'm not actually here with you, but since I saw you only last night, I feel like you're with me.
More than usual. I feel like our spirits are closer than they normally are.
So true. How are you since I last saw you 12 and a half hours ago?
You know what? Still going strong. Had a lovely morning drinking coffee and reading. And excited to discuss some great books with you. How are you, my friend?
I am good. I've been crocheting. I'm making myself a little hat. I also...
No. We can't just skim over that. The phrase, I'm making myself a little hat, has just stone cold killed me.
Well, I am.
That's cute.
I got a pom-pom maker this week, so I'm going to put a pom-pom on it as well, which will make it even cuter. So if it looks like shit, I will just die. I will just be so mad.
I cannot wait to see you in your little pom-pom hat.
Thank you.
Fuck. Too much.
Pom-pom hat. So have you read anything this week other than in preparación for this episode? Is there anything you'd like to discuss with me?
No, the only thing that I've done this week is continue down a path of madness by just re-listening to the Secret History audiobook again. I listened to it last week, loved it.
What?
This is how my brain is wired. Like, if I get into a song, I will listen to that song nonstop, on repeat, for days at a time.
Would you like to name a song that you've done that with?
All right, listen. I said it's how my brain is wired. It's like a sickness, okay? I just want to preemptively say it's like a sickness. I can't help it. It's not something I should be judged about. The last song.
I share the sickness, so you're among friends. So the song that we have both been listening to on repeat in 2021.
Bad Habit by Ed Sheeran.
It sucks.
I didn't even, like, consider myself an Ed Sheeran fan.
Nope.
I don't really understand, like, why people hate him so much, though. I don't really, you know, I'm Ed Sheeran agnostic. Like, yeah. I know he's there. I'm sure lots of people love him. This song, however, just absolutely, like, maggoted in my brain. That was me done. It's been my summer anthem. And, yeah.
Where do you stand on the original Bad Habits, i.e. Shape of You by Ed Sheeran? Because that is one of my true faves. How do you feel about this song?
I think it bangs. I think, if I remember correctly, it banged hard enough to end up in, like, one of my Spotify most played lists of not the year it came out, like a year later I got into it. So yeah, I agree that's also a banger. But then also before, I actually have some data on this that Spotify told me, I think last year, I was listening specifically to Drain You on the album Nevermind by Nirvana because it's mentioned in the book My Friend Anna. And I was like, I can't remember how that track goes. I'm going to listen to it. And it's good. I like it, you know. But the next track on the album is a track called Lounge Act. And that came on and I was like, fuck, this is a good... I forgot about this song. I forgot how much I love this song. This is such a good song. And Spotify helpfully told me that I first listened to it that year on, like, February the 22nd. And by... I hit 50 streams on February the 24th.
Oh, my God. And now you're knee-deep in Ed Sheeran.
Well, now I'm knee-deep in the Secret History.
Okay, yes. Our original point.
Like, it's a slightly different vibe, because basically I do listen to a lot of audiobooks that I already know quite well in bed to sleep. Like, my husband snores a little bit, and, like, I need some kind of white noise. So for me, white noise is audiobooks I know very well. And yeah, I guess I got to the end of The Secret History, which was a more of an active listen. I was listening to it, like, whilst I was doing things rather than just before bed. And I was like, you know what? I loved that so much. I'm not ready to depart the world of Hampton. It's called Hampton.
Yes. Based Hampton, on Bennington okay. College. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
But also, I think mainly this is because I am still editing. So I just don't have the headspace to stare at words when I'm staring at words in my day job, and then I'm staring at words in the evening. I'm just, I don't have this, the mental space to do it. So that's all I'm capable of. What about you?
So yeah, I was reading for this episode, but I was also listening to Transcendent Kingdom by Yaa Jessie on audiobook. Which I'm really enjoying. So I will report back in the fullness of time. But yeah, that's been my little audiobook of the week that I've been listening to while I crochet.
Oh, I can't wait to find out how that one is.
So, my kinky friend.
What? Oh, for God's sake!
What are we discussing this week?
We are discussing creating the beast with two backs with beasts.
Yes.
I feel like there probably could have been a more elegant way of that, like...
formulation.
Yeah, but fuck it. We've done it now. Okay, yeah, so we have two beautiful queens before us. Bear by Marianne Engel and Mrs. Caliban by Rachel Ingalls.
Ingalls. That's weirdly similar names.
Yeah. The theme of which is women who like to fuck beasts.
Specifically beasts.
Specifically. I'm going to propose, let's start with Bear.
Yeah.
And then cruise into Mrs. Caliban, because I have more to say about the latter, because I literally finished it.
Even though I just finished Bear. So, you know. Yeah.
So, I mean, first of all, I feel like just the vibe of both of these books is pretty identical. They're both reissues.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, like both reissues, both written around the same time. No, maybe one's 70. Bear is 70s.
76 and Mrs. Caliban is 82.
Oh, I thought Mrs. Caliban was earlier.
No.
Interesting. Okay.
They're both quite short.
Both quite horny.
Both quite horny.
And also both quite beloved by some, like, recommended by some, like, pretty key people. Also both put out by independent presses. We have Daunt Books for Bear and Faber for Mrs. Caliban. So, like, quite a similar energy. So, yeah, let's start with Bear, set in Canada.
So when I went to look up when Bear was published, are you on a you're on your laptop because we're recording.
Yeah.
Go to Google and search on, Bear, yep. Marianne Engel, and look at the...
Oh, I know exactly what you're sending me to see. Is it the original cover?
Yes!
If you are listening to this and you're able to Google, do this little Google that I have just performed. You will not be disappointed. It kind of looks like a bodice ripper, right?
Yes.
Imagine like a bodice ripper cover, but instead of a kind of handsome, muscly man, like instead of the himbo, there is a just fully realistic Bear.
With his arms around the sexy lady.
Topless.
Yep. Tits out. Tits out for the bears. So yeah, because the reissued cover is just a quite kind of chic looking, like, bear's fur with a woman's hand going into it, with nice neon coloured writing on top of it in a chic font. So it's quite a different vibe that they've gone for this time.
Also, what I find interesting about the... Oh no, it's still there. So the proof copies of Bear had the exact same cover, but instead of the title and the author's name, it had the quote that's on the French flap.
Yes.
Bear, she cried, I love you, pull my head off. So, like, it's made pretty clear, either by the cover of the original book or by this pull quote on the reissue, that she fucks the bear. So I feel like that might feel like a spoiler, but that is the premise of the book.
Yes, that's what we just are promised. Just to make that clear.
Yes. And that really is kind of all that happens.
Yeah, like this librarian or archivist goes to this kind of semi-remote island and to sort of go through the estate of someone who's left the property to her institution and has to spend the summer there working there on her own. And one of the unusual things about the property is that the previous owner owned a bear and the bear is still there. And it's about her communing with the property and the bear specifically.
And also like, it's very much about nature as well. Like, there's loads of really beautiful nature writing in this book. And it's about loneliness and solitude and like, for this very shy woman, how she really blossoms when she's alone, surrounded by books, nature, and particularly attractive bears. Yes. Did you like it? What did you think of it?
I quite liked it. I mean, it wasn't like my fave, and I definitely much preferred Mrs. Caliban, but I didn't hate it, and it's not really like anything else I have, you know, I mean, thematically it's, it has a lot in common with Mrs. Caliban, but in other ways not very similar at all. But yeah, I quite liked it. I didn't love it, but I quite liked it. What did you think?
Same evaluation, really. I feel like part of the problem I have with this book is that the only way to really talk about it, because it's not, it, obviously it doesn't take itself very seriously. It's not a serious book, despite the fact that it has like a very straight face in its telling. But it's very difficult not to talk about it with like a bit of a tee-hee, she fucks the bear. And obviously it's not really that funny. It's kind of told in such an earnest fashion.
Yeah.
That I sort of feel like if you know the punchline going in, you're just kind of waiting to see, well, okay. I see what's going to happen here. I feel the sexual tension between her and this bear. Like, when are we going to get to it? So I don't know. I mean, I feel like the puerile part of me enjoys that. I don't think it's necessarily something that I don't feel like inclined to rush out and recommend it to people. And certainly once I'd finished it, I'd kind of forgotten everything other than what I knew when I went in with.
Yeah, and like, you are just waiting for her to fuck the bear. Like, that's kind of how I feel about this book.
And yeah, it's 167 pages and she fucks the bear on like page 107. Yeah. So that's like 100 pages of just like edging.
Yeah.
Right? Like, not that I want to be negative about it. Like, I think if you particularly enjoy nature writing and these kinds of like narratives about women and desire, then it's probably one that you will enjoy. And, like, I had a good time reading it.
Yeah, I recognize that it is good. I just didn't personally vibe with it. I have nothing against it. I'm happy it exists. I'm happy that there are narratives about women bonking animals, but I did not personally vibe with it. Something I thought was quite interesting about Bear is that the bear is specifically described as, like, ugly and, like, not... I don't know how to explain what I'm trying to articulate, but, like, almost every physical description of the bear is, like, specifically repulsive.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's not like a sexy bear. And it's written in a way that, like, the language of the book does not implant a concept of desire, like, in the reader, I would say. That is my assessment of the way that the bear is written.
Oh, yeah, because also, like, the bear is in no way kind of, like, personified.
Anthropomorphized, yeah.
Yeah, like, the description of his tongue is absolutely horrendous. It's, like, eel-like, scouring, rasped. Like, it's just it's fully a bear. Like, there's no kind of like sexy feeling that it's a, like a man in a bear suit kind of thing. Like, that is an animal.
Yeah, and it's like horrible little black eyes and sort of, yeah, just all of, yeah, every single description is kind of gross or like unappealing.
Do we see the bear the bear defecates quite regularly as well, doesn't he?
Well, she goes, she shits in the bear enclosure to make the bear right. Like her. Like someone, one of the like islanders, the guy that runs the shop who she has the most contact with, tells her that that's like a way to get the bear to trust her is to shit in its area. So there's just a lot of shitting.
I will just say that is not a way to earn my trust. Like, that's not going to so do it true. For me.
So yeah, okay. That was a thing that I was like, I would like to discuss this, the fact that the bear is ugly.
I wish that I had those words in my head as I was reading it, because I only really remember not so much like the ugliness of it, but the very distinct bareness of him.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Yeah. Like, yeah, there was in no way did the character, and it's written in the third person, but we're quite close. Like, we're focalized through her lens, even though it's in third. And, like, yeah, there's no part... She doesn't kind of romanticize the bareness of him. She's very aware of the ways in which he differs from her other sexual experiences. Although, actually, does she have any other sexual experiences?
Yeah, so she had this like ex-boyfriend who left her for like a younger woman, and she was really jealous and would like throw stuff at their window. And then she had like a relationship with the director of the institute that she works at, but
Oh,
it seems
yeah.
like, yeah, not romance with human men has not brought her joy in her life. So yeah, hence the bear, obviously. That's the only way to go.
Yeah, I mean, understandable in many ways. Yeah, that's all. I'm curious to see. So wait, this was published in 82.
Yeah, no, sorry, that's Mrs. Caliban. This was published in
Oh, right, okay.
1976.
76, okay.
And it won like, prizes, and on the proof copy there's like a quote that says it's like the best Canadian, the great, Canada's greatest novel. It's like very well regarded,
Oh,
which
yeah,
is
I mean,
interesting to me because it's like good, but I'm not like, this is the best
yeah.
novel of a country.
I mean, this Margaret Atwood quote, a strange and wonderful book, plausible as kitchens, but shapely as a folk tale, and with the same disturbing resonance, which I don't disagree with.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, but I would maybe
Yeah,
not say it's the best Canadian novel of all time, personally.
Oh, that was the. Okay, that quote came from the Canadian Encyclopedia. What a fucking bizarre. What a
Random.
bizarre. What a bizarre quote. What a bizarre source, rather, for an endorsement. Anyway, so that's Bear by Marianne Engel. If you've read it, we'd love to know what you thought. I'd love to know if anyone like was really crazy over
If anybody thought that the bear sounded hot and not repulsive. So I want
it.
to know about that too.
What about your disgusting bear desires?
Yes. So our second book, which I am much more hyped about and I truly loved, is Mrs. Caliban by Rachel Ingalls, which was published in 1982.
Oh my God. It's going to be very difficult to discuss the reasons why I love this book without spoilering it. But we will not spoiler it.
Okay.
I'm just going to say, I just feel like we should just say that immediately because I really hope, I think it's something that I think lots of our listeners will really enjoy. But going into this one, okay, so first of all, the premise is it's a lonely Californian housewife, husband clearly playing around. She's got a very good friend called Estelle, but her world is quite small. And basically, right at the beginning of the book, she's cooking dinner and she hears on the radio that a kind of sea monster has escaped this, like,
A frog
a
man.
scientific, a frogman has escaped a scientific institute. They think he's dangerous and everyone needs to be aware. And then lo and behold, the frogman steps into her kitchen like, hey. And the sparks fly, right? Like it's an immediate, there is immediate kinship between this woman and this frogman. And she decides to take him in,
And
keeps
hides
him
him.
secret from her philandering husband. And that's kind of where the novel kicks off. At first, I wasn't really vibing with this because it's written in a very kind of mid-century twee kind of voice. That's the best way that I could describe it.
Yeah, like to learn that it was written in the 80s is actually quite surprising because the
Yeah.
style and the content could lead you to believe it was written and set in the 50s, for example.
100%. Especially, I guess I wasn't so surprised to learn it was written in the 80s. I can't believe it's not set earlier. But then, oh my God, I mean, it is actually on a line level. It's actually incredible.
I also found the dialogue very funny, like the her talking to her friend Estelle, I find really funny, or like just, I don't know, there was just something so kind of like bouncy and readable about the way people talk to each other in this book.
Yeah, I absolutely adored her first meeting with Estelle. Every time she hangs out with Estelle. So Estelle is this like single woman. She's got two kids, two like teenage kids, and she's got two blokes on the go. And she's just absolutely outraged that both of these men that she's seeing are also seeing other people. So she's
Yes.
just fucking hilarious. Yeah, she's just really hilarious. And like, Dorothy, the main character's name is Dorothy. Dorothy is this very sensible, quite down to earth, quite kind of straight-laced woman in comparison to Estelle. Like Estelle's kind of the wild one. And, you know, Dorothy doesn't tell anyone about this affair she's having. She doesn't confide in a single person. And yeah, I loved it. I loved it.
I'm glad because I loved it. And I was like, I want you to read it, but I thought maybe you wouldn't like it for some reason. I don't know. I just wasn't sure. But
no, you know what? Yeah. It was the final, it's the final third for me. Because also, I mean, the vibe is reminds me in many ways of The Shape of Water.
Yeah, which I obviously find really interesting that no, The Shape of Water has the basically the same plot, but is not based on this book. Like, no one is crediting this book. Like, when you, you know, you read about The Shape of Water, it's, it is not based on Mrs. Caliban. There is no credit given to Mrs. Caliban. But, like, it is kind of...
It's very... In Erenice and Okoye's intro, she says, it has quietly influenced and been championed by many cultural juggernauts. Guillermo del Toro's film The Shape of Water, for one, with admirers such as blah, blah, blah. So, like, I guess the connection is clearly there. It's just not something that... Yeah, I'd never heard of this book until you read it. But anyway, my point about The Shape of Water was that I really didn't like it. And obviously The Shape of Water, because it's Del Toro, it has like a very kind of fairy tale-esque, like very kind of magical, kind of surreal vibe to it. Whereas this book is very, like, very realist and very, like, down to earth in its telling. And so, yeah, I mean, so at first I think maybe a hangover of disliking The Shape of Water. Maybe I also just don't particularly like this style of writing. I wasn't really feeling it. But the final third, like the final act, just suddenly you, lots of different aspects in this very short novel all kind of come together in a really disastrous manner.
Yeah.
That really took the wind out of my lungs. I was so shocked by it. And shocked in a way, not because it's so racy and sexual, shocked because it's harrowing and surprising and moving and just so messy and so real as well, despite the fact that this is a book that is completely, you know, out
implausible.
There.
Implausible, yeah.
Yeah, and I just, it really surprised me.
I think on a plot level, this, so when you're reading Mrs. Caliban, it the vibe is slightly different to Bear, where I found when I was reading Bear, I was like, when's she gonna fuck the bear? But with Mrs. Caliban, yeah. I was like, I don't feel, also because that happens like earlier in the story, that's not kind of hanging over the book. There's more plot. There's just a lot more plot in Mrs. Caliban, which I think also makes it more pleasurable.
I think it's also just like the sex in Mrs. Caliban is very secondary to the like emotional support. Because that's what she really gets from her frogman.
Yeah, because...
Who, by the way, is called Larry.
Larry. And he does speak, which I think makes a real difference. So he is, like, a person. Like, Larry is kind of like a person who is just a frogman. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Like, he's a sentient, communicative, like, force rather than, like, a incommunicative bear.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, even because it's not actually that horny of a book.
No.
Like, the sex is very chaste. And in fact, like, she doesn't really feel, or she doesn't express lust for him, like, for his physicality. In fact, she mostly describes the texture of his skin as, like, warm and dry. And that her skin remembers his touch once he's kind of left her. Like it's very kind of soft and romantic. It's not the kind of raw dogging of a bear. But like, yeah. But yeah, I really loved it. I just really loved it. I think I also benefited from like shotgunning it. I read half of it last night and then half of it this morning.
Yeah, because it's not particularly long, and you can kind of get through it quite quickly. But yeah, I loved it, and I'm just so happy that Faber reissued it. It's just such a like great thing to have put back out in the world, because so my local independent bookshop, Kirkdale Books in Sydenham, they've really like gone hard on it. Like, they have been like championing. We had a drink with Grace Harrison, a friend of the pod, who is a publicist at Picador last night, and Grace likes it when I use this 90s expression, which is street team. So whenever I'm like a fan of something, I say that I'm on like, I think it began with when I said I was on the Fact of a Body street team, because I love the book Fact of a Body. But Kirkdale books are like the Mrs. Caliban street team. I feel like they've really like pushed it in the shop and on their social media as well. One of the main booksellers there like loves it and was so excited that it was reissued, and I feel like there is a memory of this book. Like people, like my parents had a copy and they have other books by Rachel Ingalls, so I feel like she is kind of someone that people are happy to see being reconsidered.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I like that. I'm happy for them. And the cover of the Faber edition is so nice. It's like this kind of wiggly wavy brush writing in black of the title and the author's name with these kind of very fluid illustrations of like two bodies, one is pink and one is green, and it just looks really chic and it looks really nice. And I'm really hyped to see what other stuff Faber reissue, because I feel like they're really onto a good thing at the moment with obviously Mrs. Caliban, which we loved. And I'm also really hyped about something that they have coming next year, which is a 1977 dystopian book called They by Kay Dick, which Faber are putting out again with an intro by our beloved Carmen Maria Machado. So I'm hyped to read that. And then, as I said, I'm hyped to see what else they decide to reissue, because, yeah, I'm very invested in this after how much I loved Mrs. Caliban.
And also, okay, I have a fun fact for you.
Hit more.
So Kay Dick's book, which is described here in the bookseller as Dick's forgotten queer dystopian masterpiece, Faber won it in a 5-way auction after a Curtis Brown agent called Becky Brown found the book in a charity shop for 50p. Wow. And she picked it up and was like, wow, this bangs. Isn't that fun? I love it.
It's so fun. We love a little publishing tale.
I really do. I'm fascinated by it. And also, yeah, Faber, speaking of reissues, because of course Come Closer is a reissue, isn't that? Exactly. That was a 90s book.
Yeah.
So Faber are on it, which I really love. Like, I sort of feel haunted in some ways by, you know, all the books that have gone out of print that could be 100% my vibe that I will never discover. So I'm really so excited true. When people do it for me.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's, like, no reason why something has endured and something else kind of hasn't. Like, why do we read The Handmaid's Tale, but we don't read They? Like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So thank you so much, Faber, for doing the Lord's work and digging out this stuff for me and Alice to read. Is there any other, like, are there any other books of this ilk, of, like, one boning beast?
Yes, there is, and I did intend to read it for this episode. I just haven't had time. The Pisces?
Oh, yes, by Melissa Broder.
Yeah, and that one I know is very sexually explicit. That's all I know about it. Very horny. I've
heard this, yes.
Very sexually explicit. The Horny Fish Book. Says here, according to Goodreads, deeply bizarre, strangely erotic, and fascinatingly visceral. You know, I have a copy of it. I will get around to it. I will report back.
I just feel like I have no need for any further books of this genre now that I have found Mrs. Caliban, which I love so much.
I think there is, isn't there, there's a film coming? There's an adaptation of The Pisces coming.
Probably.
At some point in the future. So prepare yourself.
Maybe I'll have to read it ahead of that.
Maybe by then, this trend will really take off and we'll have... Okay, here's a question. If you absolutely had to commission, a man meets beast, so, you know, you can choose your genders accordingly, but you have to commission one, what animal are you picking?
That's not the question I thought you were going to ask me. And I was like, I don't know if you should ask me that on this pod.
No, keeping it clean. You're a commissioning editor. You know that the Pisces adaptation is coming. You know Mrs. Caliban has absolutely popped off. You know Bear has popped off. You're like, fuck it. Let's commission Elizabeth Day to write us one, or whoever. What are you picking?
Yeah, interesting. Because I feel like... I do feel like the Bear, you know, that's... We've had, like... you know, like The Revenant, where we've had, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio wrestling a bear. We've had, like, Bear by Marion Engel, where she bones the bear. I feel like the bear looms large in the brain, and that makes sense.
Midsummer.
To me. Yeah. Maybe like a polar bear. Maybe let's mix it up with some Michelle Paver ghosty story kind of vibes in the Arctic.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
Why? What are you doing?
Well, I'm thinking we've had land and sea. I'm going air. I'm saying let's have a bat.
What?
Or like an eagle.
Bats are so tiny, though. Have you ever thought about that?
What if it's one of those massive fucking fruit bats? What? You know, those really massive... I'm just throwing out ideas.
That's what's pushed me over the edge. I got through all of these books, you know, just take it on the chin. Like, you know, I accept that this is what's happening. As soon as you invoke the idea of a big bat, well, disgusting.
Really? Oh my God, I love... They look like foxes.
Oh, no, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing one flying around. Okay, picture the scene. There I am, minding my own business in Sri Lanka on my honeymoon. And I was in a botanic garden in, like, the blazing sunshine in the daytime. And I was like, ooh, that's a weird-looking tree. What's that? And I looked at it, and I realized that what I thought were bits of tree were just, like, hundreds and hundreds of sleeping bats.
Oh, my God, my dream.
It was cool. It was just, like... weird and unexpected.
Oh, I love them. I love them. But yeah, I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm just thinking about how to, like, bring something new to the genre. My other suggestion, which I feel like would have been worse, was going to be, like, some kind of insect.
Ooh.
Praying mantis. Or what about, you know, a great big cockroach.
Ooh.
I actually hate that so much. I regret saying it. I regret thinking it, and then I regret saying it. Strike that from the record.
All of our listeners.
Okay, so if you're listening at home, please let us know what you would commission, what partnership you would like to see in print.
To jump on this trend.
All right, let's call time on this one before I ruin both of our days with my horrible brain.
And then we have to go to prison. Well, friends, yeah, please do pick up either or both of these books, specifically Mrs. Caliban, because it's new, it's only been out a couple of months, so I feel like, you know, it's nice to sort of show your appreciation for something while it's relatively new, so the publisher's like, oh yes, people like this.
Also, yeah, on that note, it's new, but it is a French flapped paperback, so it's only $8.99. You don't have to wait for the hardback, it is already available in paperback, which I think is quite cool.
Yeah, because it's very unlike me to buy new, like, brand new books, because I don't like buying hardbacks. But so I had not considered the fact that I bought a new book and it was a paperback. They're so smart. They know how to get me to spend money. Cool, yes. So thank you so much for joining us. I've had a lovely time talking about this thorny little issue. And we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.